Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 2, Chapter 6, Purusa Sutta confirmed, text 28. Iti Samvrita Sambharha Purusha Vayavair Aham Tam Eva Purusham Yagyam tenaiva yajam ishvaram iti sambrita sambara purusha vayavaraham tameva purusham yagyam Tenaiva yajam ishvaram Iti sambrita sambara Purusha vayavairaham Tameva purusham yagyam Tenaiva yajam ishvaram Iti sambrita sambara Purusha vayavairaham Tameva purusham yagyam Tenaiva yajam ishvaram Iti sambrita sambara Pusharvayavayaham Neva Pusham Yagyam Neva Yagyam Isvaram Isambhita Sambhara Pusharvayavayaham Tameva purusham yagyam Tenaiva yajam ishvaram Sambhara Sarvaya vairapi Yagyam Tenaiva yajam ishvaram Vaishnavis Iti samvrita sambhara Purusha vayavairaham Tameva purusham yagyam Tameva purusham yagyam Iti Vas Sambrita executed Sambaraha equip myself well Purusha the personality of Godhead avayavahai, by the parts and parcels. Aham, I. Tam eva, unto him. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Yagyam, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Tena eva, by all those. Ayajam, worshipped. Ishvaram, the supreme controller. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thus I created the ingredients and paraphernalia for offering sacrifice out of the parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, the enjoyer of sacrifice. And I perform the sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. Purport. People in general are always anxious to have peace of mind or peace in the world, but they do not know how to achieve such a standard of peace. In the world. Such peace in the world is obtainable by performances of sacrifice and by practice of austerity. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the following prescription is recommended. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richtati. The karmi yogis know that the Supreme Lord is the factual enjoyer and maintainer of all sacrifices and of the austere life. They also know that the Lord is the ultimate proprietor of all the planets and is the factual friend of all living entities. Such knowledge gradually converts the karma yogis into pure devotees of the Lord through the association of unalloyed devotees, and thus they are able to be liberated from material bondage. Brahma, the original living being within the material world, taught us the way of sacrifice. The word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interest for the satisfaction of a second person. That is the way of all activities. Every man is engaged in sacrificing his interests for others, either in the form of family, society, community, country, or the entire human society. But perfection of such sacrifices is attained when they are performed for the sake of the Supreme Person, the Lord. Because the Lord is the proprietor of everything, because the Lord is a friend of all living creatures, and because He is the maintainer of the performer of sacrifice, as well as the supplier of the ingredients of sacrifices, it is He only and no one else who should be satisfied by all sacrifices. The whole world is engaged in sacrificing energy for the advancement of learning, social upliftment, economic development, and plans for total improvement of the human condition. But no one is interested in sacrificing for the sake of the Lord, as it is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, there is no peace in the world. If men at all want peace in the world, they must practice sacrifice in the interest of the supreme proprietor and friend of all. Om Gyanatimurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've been talking about yajna, sacrifice. I mean, when I used to hear the word sacrifice before I became a devotee, I used to think of these strange rituals, maybe in the Aztec culture in ancient times, where they bring somebody to the top of some pyramid and cut their heart out and, you know, sacrifice the prisoner to whatever strange gods they imagine. But here we're learning the real nature and purpose of sacrifice. It's actually for our benefit. And sacrifice is extensively discussed in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There, Krishna tells Arjuna, yajna shishtashana shanto muchanti sarva kilbishai punjate te turgam papam ye pachanti atmakaranat. That means the devotee, the saintly person, eats only food which is offered in sacrifice, in other words, prasadam. And this has the effect of freeing one from all kinds of sinful reactions. And not only that, it inoculates one against future contamination. So it's for our benefit. And those who don't follow that process of sacrifice and just eat whatever they want, they have to undergo all kinds of sinful reactions. So the next verse that follows that one is Anadbhavanti Bhutani. Parjanyo anasambhava yajna bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhava. That means all living entities subsist ultimately on food grains, food, vegetarian things, because even if one is eating meat, well, largely, the meat comes from animals that are eating grains and vegetables, grass, things like that. So where does the grain come from? It comes from rain. So rain is very important. Sometimes in Southern California, we have some drought. And in other parts of the world, they have very severe droughts, and nothing will grow. No plants will grow. So then the animals starve and the human beings starve. So, and that's because of the absence of rain. So where does the rain come from? Why does it come? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, because of sacrifice. And where does sacrifice come from? Comes from the fact that people have to work in this world. They have to exert their human energy in order to survive. So in the Vedic culture, this work has, we understand it has to be done for the satisfaction of someone. it has to be carried out under certain authority. That is the nature of work. So in the Vedic culture, there was the idea that one should perform one's activities, one's karma, one's work, as a sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, as Srila Prabhupada is stressing in this purport. So it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, yagnartat karmano netra loko yam kama bharantanaha. That work has to be performed as a sacrifice to Vishnu. Otherwise, one is bound to the cycle of birth and death. So, and this system has been around for a long time, actually since the very beginning of creation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, sahayagya, sahayagya, prajashrisva, sahayagya, prajashrisva. In the beginning of creation, I sent forth generations of human beings and demigods along with sacrifice and blessed them that by this sacrifice, you know, the demigods will become pleased with you and they will supply all the necessities of life. So, I mean, that's very important. You know, it just shows we don't, according to the vision of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't live in an accidental universe. It is created for a specific purpose, to give us the opportunity to cease our desire to selfishly satisfy our senses and satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to help us do that, Krishna has provided this system of yajna, or sacrifice. So he says, if you do this, you'll be happy, you'll be satisfied in this world, and you will, in the future, in your next life, or next, within a few lives, you will go back home, back to Godhead. That's the result. Otherwise, if people don't follow this process of yajna and simply act for sense gratification, their own selfish sense gratification, they're described as stena evasa. They are just thieves. And thieves will ultimately be punished by the laws of nature. So if we take up that process, you know, we'll find that life goes much easier. So Krishna has explained in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, yajnanam japo yajnosmi. Of all kinds of yajna, that's what he says there, I am the yajna of japa. So it's a central practice. We all know we have to sacrifice so much time each day and sacrifice our mind, control it, in order to perform the japa yajna as it was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And it is a yajna, but it's one of our foundational activities. And beyond that, Yajai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. We have the Yajna of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which also involves the propagation of his teachings. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other works. So that is our yajna. So I'll stop there. It may not be mistranslated, but we understand that he's making use of things that have been provided by Krishna. Like in Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada actually paraphrases this verse from the Gita in this purport, where he talks about the personality of Godhead being himself, the fire, the priest, the sacrifice, the offering. It's all part and parcel of him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. So everything is an energy or expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So Brahma is not creating in the sense that he's there's nothing and he just makes everything. He's taking things that Krishna has provided and taking intelligence from Krishna and doing something. Just like we could say a wealthy person might contract with somebody to create a painting or a building or something. But if the wealthy person is providing the materials, is providing the funds and everything, providing everything and providing the idea, I would like this. And the person takes all that. It's not really independently creating something. So when it's said that, for example, Brahma creates the bodies of all the different kinds of plant bodies, animal bodies, human bodies, demigod bodies. He's not really creating them out of nothing. Like it's Brahma, Lord Brahma explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm taking the seeds that Krishna has given. We were hearing yesterday in the seed of a banyan tree, or sometime recently, maybe it wasn't yesterday, but a banyan tree is in a seed, a tiny little seed. So it's like Brahma is taking those seeds and distributing them. So it's a special use of the word creation. Something else? Oh, I didn't see you, Maharaj. Okay.
Come to the same conclusion about the purpose of the sacrifice, and then all of these things is not by accident. Can the ascending process lead to the same conclusion?
After a long time, they could, if they were sincere and didn't have bad motivations. But what the world of science is all about, it's like a game that's played according to certain rules. It's almost like you said, okay, we're going to try to describe what's in this room right now, but we're going to close our eyes. You know, whatever you can feel like that. It's because they're saying, we want to try to explain everything without bringing in anything non-material, no non-material substance, no God or higher intelligence having anything to do with it. And all our conclusions are provisional. We're just saying, if you stick by this method, then scientists will come up with different conclusions and they'll discuss among each other and they'll say, well, at this moment, most of us, or the most intelligent of us, will offer our provisional knowledge that we've arrived at up to now. It may change in the future. It has always changed in the past. So it's, if they admit, yeah, okay, we're doing like this, but it may not be the real truth, and it may be something completely different. But we rely on another process. They could figure it out ultimately, like even a broken clock is right twice a day. Yeah. Maharaj.
First of all, I thank you very much, not only for a nice class, but nice explanations that you've been giving to the two wonderful devotees, Sachi Tanoi and Ananta. Yeah, okay. Which is very good, very clarifying. I just wanted to add one little comment to your big thunder of so many explanations, realizations. Very often, people misunderstand the idea of sacrifice. When I was little and I was growing up, my parents would say, I'm sacrificing so much for you, so you should be a good boy. You understand? You be good now, because otherwise I'm not going to give you food or clothes or this. I'm doing this. I'm going to work. So this is the worldly concept of sacrifice. This is not the spiritual concept of sacrifice at all. Spiritual sacrifice means that Krishna, he owns everything. He's the provider of everything. He's the enabler of everything. And therefore, everything that we use belongs to him and is coming from his grace. And because it's coming from his grace, we should feel an obligation to at least give something back to him. Not that we can ever match or equal what he gives to us, but at least we can make the effort to have him realize that we appreciate what is being given to us and not take it for granted, not take it as if I own it, not take it because I'm so wonderful and great and glorious and wonderful, but take it simply because you are glorious and great and wonderful, and therefore I want to express my gratitude for you enabling me for doing whatever I do, whether I'm a dentist or I'm a doctor, I'm a preacher, I'm a cook. You, Lord, are enabling me. So the sacrifice that I'm making, I'm offering to you, you deserve it. You should get it. And I should give it to you because I am nothing next to you. I'm zero. But because you are enabling me to become 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever, you deserve everything that I have, which comes from you. So therefore, our concept of sacrifice has to be that it is for Krishna's pleasure. It, as you mentioned this, it is for Krishna's pleasure. It is for his satisfaction. It is to increase his pleasure and love for us so that we can do better, bigger, greater, and grander. So that is the purpose of sacrifice. Nothing for us, everything for Krishna. And if we get anything, it is the grace of Krishna, his love, his kindness, his sweetness, his wonder. Me, sinner that I am, I'm getting all this. Why? Well, for that reason alone, he should get more and more and more and more from me. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who is the biggest of sacrificer, and all glories to Lord Krishna, who gives him the energy, the vitality, the love, the affection, and everything that we receive, which we should never take for granted. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.